Since the day my wife died, I and my daughter Lizzie have been living by ourselves. Initially, the grief was too much to bear, but eventually, we learned to live with it. Now that 2 years had passed and I had become a workaholic, my daughter decided it was time for me to step out and find love again. Little does she know that her mother was irreplaceable and I would never love a woman as I loved her again. But to make Lizzie feel better, I decided to give it a try, and what better way than Tinder? I didn't have the slightest clue on how to make a profile, let alone find an interesting woman using it. So my daughter helped me with it. As my profile went live, I wasn't expecting much to happen. But to my utter surprise, within just a week of use, I had matched with several women. Some of them were too young for my taste, but not gonna lie, some were really beautiful. Although I could never give the place my late wife has in my heart to someone else, it doesn't mean I couldn't find a partner again. This one particular woman had caught my attention and looked like she must have been in her late 30s. Given the fact that I was in my 40s, I wished to give her a chance. But in all her pictures, she was wearing a face mask. I thought maybe all her latest pictures were taken during COVID, hence the face mask. Although we texted quite a bit, we both never really dared to ask one another out. That's when my daughter intervened. "So when are you going to ask her out, Dad? I mean, from the pictures you have shown me, she looks quite stunning." I felt like a teenage boy asking his crush for a date, but I did it anyways. I asked her if she would go to dinner with me on the weekend. And if she said yes, could she send me a picture of herself without the mask on so I could recognize her? I got my reply in about a half an hour, and as I had expected, she texted. "Took you too long to ask, and I'd love to go on a date with you. However, I want you to see me in person yourself. Don't worry, I will recognize you as I know how you look." Not thinking much about it, and I was excited to go on the date. When the day of the date arrived, I was like a kid about to go on a picnic. I couldn't stop thinking about her, and the thought of finally being able to see her face was making me just as nervous as I was excited. Oh, and did I tell you? She was Japanese, and her name was Susan. My first wife was Asian, too. I guess Asian women are my type. We had decided to meet in a lakeside restaurant. I had already reserved the table with the best view and put down my card to pay for the meal. I immediately recognized those eyes. And as the waitress was escorting her to our table, my eyes met with Susan's for the first time, and there was an instant connection. I knew I wouldn't mind taking our relationship further if she was willing to do the same. As she neared our table, I straightened my blazer and rested my sweaty hands on the table. Susan reached our table and thanked the waitress with her sweet voice. Looking at her standing there, it felt like I was falling in love for the first time. I was just so delighted to see the woman I had developed a crush on. She was about to sit down when I got up and pulled her chair for her. She looked pleased, and I knew she liked me by the way she looked at me. At any moment now, she would take off her mask, and I would finally get to see her face, with no doubt I knew would be pretty. "How are you, Joseph?" she asked, and to be honest, I was a bit tongue-tied. I'm fine. Good, really, now that I've met you." She giggled girlishly, which was kind of cute. It felt like we were two teenagers on our first date. "You look stunning tonight, Susan," I complimented her. "You don't look too bad yourself," she said seductively. At that moment, I knew I was a goner. The moment I would return home, I was going to thank Lizzie and get her ice cream for pushing me into creating an account on Tinder. I was hoping Susan would pull her mask down, but she never did. And for some reason, I did not point it out to her either. I thought she would be compelled to take it off when the food would arrive anyway. "What would you like to have?"
I know, Joseph, this is a date and you expect us to share a meal, but my stomach is kind of upset since the morning. And to be able to come on this date, I have taken a few medicines, which means I won't be able to join you. But please, go ahead and order whatever you want for yourself." I was a bit disappointed and felt sad that she had to come while she was sick.
"Hey, we could have rescheduled the date. You could have told me, darling." Susan's eyes softened and she said,
"Joseph, I couldn't wait to see you, so I did not cancel the date. I know that's stupid of me, but I just really wanted to meet you in person." This made my heart melt instantly. This woman was here to see me even while she was sick. God, looked like my attraction was reciprocated just as strongly.
How about I'll have a watermelon juice and we head out, talk and walk in the park to get a little bit of privacy?
That sounds great, but I don't want you to skip dinner because of me.
Don't worry about it. Lizzie is ordering a pizza and my daughter never finishes her pizza, so I'll have a few slices when I get home. I winked at her.
Okay, if you don't mind, let's walk and talk.
A few minutes, we were in Central Park. And although it was dark, we felt peaceful. Susan was clinging to my arm, which for an instant reminded me of my late wife. But for the first time, I pushed her thoughts aside and focused on the woman in my arms. As soon as we went to a secluded part of the park, Susan insisted to sit on a bench. We sat in silence, looking at the trees around us for a while, and then I finally couldn't hold back.
Would you please let me see your whole face, darling? I asked her.
Joseph, there is something I
did not tell you. She was stuttering.
What is it?
I thought if you knew the truth, you would never come on a date with me.
This was really confusing. When we texted, we exchanged almost all the information about one another. Then what was so important that she had left out, which would want me to change my mind about her?
Do you think I'm pretty?
She asked. Where was that coming from? Of course I do, sweetie. But before I could finish my sentence, her grip on my bicep almost tightened painfully. And right in front of my eyes, she turned into a witch. Her beautiful eyes were red, and her elegant hands had claws. But that wasn't the scariest part. She ripped her mask off. Her face was sliced in the shape of a smile from ear to ear. And when she opened her mouth, her face tore into two pieces, barely attached by a few pieces of muscle. I was terrified would be an understatement. I was frozen on the spot. The lights beside us started to blink, and Susan spoke with her gaudy mouth.
Do you think I'm still pretty?
She asked me again. She looked hideous, and I wanted to run out of there, but I just couldn't. I was about to open my mouth to beg her to let go of me when something happened, and Susan suddenly let me go and backed off. That's when, in the distance, I saw a speck of light, and someone was walking towards us. When I saw clearly, it was my late wife, Mia. She was doing something that was casting Susan's powers off me. I was still rooted to the spot, not able to believe my eyes that my wife was in front of me. Mia chanted something, and poof, Susan turned to dust. I always thought my wife was an angel, even when she was alive, but right now, she was truly my guardian angel. She turned to kiss me on my lips and said, I will always watch over you and your lovely daughter. Tell her I love her, okay? And kiss her for me tonight. I want her to know that Mom still loves her. And just like that, I was alone in the dark park. I went home and told the whole experience to my daughter, who actually believed me. I deleted the Tinder app from my phone and decided to give love another chance the old school way.
Hi, my name is Willie, and I'm about to tell you a story that is so scary and yet true at the same time that you wouldn't believe me after hearing this. But what do I have to lose? Oh, well, here goes. I don't normally enjoy Halloween. Why, you ask? It's because it reminds me of my breakup with my ex-psychopathic girlfriend, Nikinja. Every time Halloween comes around, I do nothing but sit around my game chair and play Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. Each time, kids will come and ring on my doorbell. I'll just ignore them and turn off my lights and pretend I'm not even home. I received a notification from the Tinder app, which I totally forgot that I had the app installed on my phone. It looks like I've been matched with someone, I said while looking at my phone. I immediately opened the Tinder app and, to my surprise, I was correct. I was matched with the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen. Her name was Esmeralda, and everything about her was perfect. She plays Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 as well, and she also stays in the same town I lived in, which is Memphis, Tennessee, by the way. She immediately texted me and said,
Hi, my name is Esmeralda, and I would like to get to know you since we are gaming buddies and all. LOL.
I replied back with, LOL, you seem pretty cute yourself. How about we meet somewhere for dinner? My treat. She responded back by saying,
Sure. Meet me at Red Lobster in 5 minutes.
I ended the conversation off with, Okay, I'll be there. And I immediately got up and got dressed. As I grabbed my keys from the kitchen counter, I petted my dog Milo, who is a German Shepherd, one last time before placing him in his cage. I got in my car and drove off. I arrived at Red Lobster, and before my eyes, there she was. She was sitting at the table waiting for me. She had long black hair and a smoking hot body and a gorgeous red dress. In my head, I thought to myself, Willie, you are one lucky man. I approached the table, and I was immediately welcomed with a graceful hug from her.
It's nice to finally meet you, Willie,
she said. Wait a minute. How do you know my name? I never told you anything about me, I questioned her.
Your Tinder profile, silly.
She replied while giggling softly. I shrugged my shoulders and brushed it off, and we began our date. Everything started out relatively normal, but I was so hypnotized by her beauty that I really couldn't stay focused on the menu that was on the table. She was even prettier in person, and I couldn't believe how well the conversation was flowing. However, it didn't take long for me to realize she was a very private person. For example, she would not tell me her last name, where she worked, or say anything about her family. She made it clear that she was protecting herself, and honestly, I didn't blame her. I shrugged it off, and the date continued. She took great interest in the fact that I was in seminary studying to be a pastor. But to be honest, I'm not really into that kind of stuff. I'm just an ordinary gamer who's trying to become famous one day, I said to her. She responded with a smile, saying,
Oh, I see. Well, keep that up, and you might just have your wish granted.
In my head, I thought to myself, This is nice because usually that's a deal-breaker for most women, at least in my experience. Towards the end of our meal, she confessed something to me.
I have something to tell you,
she said.
But please, don't think I'm crazy.
I braced myself for whatever she was about to say. She explained that she recently moved into a new apartment. She lived alone, which was also a new thing. Though she couldn't put her finger on it, she was convinced there was a presence of a sinister and paranormal nature in her apartment. She had hardly slept since she moved in because she was plagued with constant nightmares and strange occurrences. I could see the fear and exhaustion in her eyes. She seemed quite sincere.
I can tell you're a good guy,
she said. She elaborated that I seemed trustworthy and had a calming presence.
I know how this sounds, but would you please come home with me tonight? Honestly, I'm just scared to go back there alone. I'm not looking for sex.
I was really taken aback by this. It's not every day I get asked to spend the night with a beautiful woman whom I just met. I figured she was either telling the truth, or she picked a really odd way to initiate sex. Either way, the night would be interesting. We talked for a bit longer, and I agreed to spend the night with her. I followed her home, and when I walked into her apartment, I was immediately struck with bad vibes. There was just something ominous about that place. I didn't want to freak her out, so I kept these feelings to myself. I said a quick prayer and followed her to the bedroom. She wasn't kidding about the sex. I tried my luck but was met with swift rejection. We kissed and cuddled for a bit, nothing too crazy, and then she fell asleep. I just laid there for a while in the silent darkness, lost in thought. Some time later, I 100% heard someone walking down the hallway outside the bedroom. The door was closed, however, so I couldn't see anything. I was definitely frightened, but my curiosity got the better of me, so I went to investigate. Slowly, I opened the door. I looked to my left, then to my right. Nothing. I walked downstairs to check out the rest of the apartment. Nothing. I went back upstairs to check the bathroom and the guest room. Nothing. When I walked out of the guest room, which was right across from Esmeralda's bedroom, I looked to my left and right again. At the end of the hallway, I saw a black humanoid body standing there perfectly still. "What the fuck?" I said while continuing to stare at it. Normally, I would pack my stuff up and say, "Fuck this shit," and leave, but for some reason, I didn't want to leave Esmeralda. It was almost like a shadow, but I could discern that it was a three-dimensional figure. This figure was large in stature. There's no way it could have been Esmeralda. She was maybe 5'1 at best. I ran towards the figure with a bat in my hand that I grabbed out of my car before I came inside the apartment. The figure then screamed at me with a high-pitched demonic scream that was so loud it made my ears bleed. I screamed while holding my ears in pain. The figure then spoke to me and said,
"You are not going anywhere. You are stuck here forever. There is no escape."
While I stood up on my feet, I responded back in anger, saying,
"Like hell I am! There's no way in hell I'm staying here! Fuck this!"
I swung my bat at the figure's head, and it began screaming in a painful, demonic way.
This is my chance,"
I said while running back to Esmeralda's room. I ran back into Esmeralda's room. To my horror, she wasn't in bed where I left her. I called out her name.
"Esmeralda! Esmeralda! Where are you?"
But there was no response. I had just walked through the entire apartment, so it literally made no sense to me that she wasn't there. The bed was low to the ground, so she couldn't be under it. The closet was opened, too, and it was packed with boxes, so I knew she wasn't there either. The window was shut tight, plus it was the second story. It was as if she vanished. I grabbed my wallet, keys, and cell phone, and ran out of the apartment in nothing but my underwear. The shadowy figure was gone. I jumped in my car and sped away. I never heard from her again. Her Tinder profile was deleted the next day, and she never responded to any of my texts. To this day, I have no idea what the fuck happened last night. I also never went back to her apartment, mostly because I'm horrible with directions and I don't want to encounter that demonic figure again. Needless to say, this was easily one of the most terrifying, inexplicable things I've ever experienced.
This happened when I was 17 years old. It's been nearly 2 years now since my girlfriend broke up with me, and I was very chewed up about it on the inside. I've called her several times, but it always went to voicemail. I've tried texting her on Messenger since, ironically, we were friends on Facebook, but still, not a single response. As the weeks went by, I became very devastated and was worried that I'd never find love again. My brother told me to just forget about my ex-girlfriend and that it was time for me to move on. He introduced me to this app called Tinder, which he said was great for online dating. I was very familiar with online dating, but never actually done any of it because there was no way that I even felt like hooking up with some random person I met online. But I figured it couldn't hurt to try it out, so I've decided to give it a shot. After I was finished setting up my account and was done creating my profile, I just started randomly liking a few of the girls that I thought were pretty. I'm not picky. I just wanted to make sure that I found the right girl for me. A few weeks later, I have already received my first match on Tinder. Her name was Robin. She had blue hair, freckles, and beautiful amethyst purple lips. According to her profile, she had the same interest in the stuff I was into and was even around the same age as me. Even better, she lived in the same town as me. By the way, I live in Memphis, Tennessee. We started having friendly group chat on Tinder, which was going well. Her message said, "You may not know me, but we went to the same high school." I replied, "Are you sure?" She said, "Yeah. I was always the quiet one at the back of the class. Anyways, I think you're really cute. We should hang out sometime." I agreed and asked her where she wanted to hang out, where to meet her, and what time should I be there. She said we'd hang out at her place and to meet her at the park tomorrow night at around 9 p.m., to which I accepted. I got to the park that night around 9 p.m. sharp. Some time passed and I finally decided to call her to no response. I also tried texting her to no avail as well. It was around 9:30 p.m. There was still no sign of her, and I was beginning to grow impatient. I was starting to think that maybe she wasn't going to show up at all. I sighed and said, "I knew this was too good to be true. She's not even here yet. Ah, screw it. I'm going home. Can't believe I came out here this late for nothing." Oh well, so much for online dating. I was about to start my walk home when suddenly, I saw a black convertible pull up to my location. The car stopped right in front of me and the window rolled down, revealing a creepy-looking old man who was probably in his mid-50s. He looked dirty and smelled like he hadn't showered in weeks. He gazed at me with a weird smile and asked, "You going somewhere, kid?" I responded, "Yeah, I'm just heading home." He asked me why I was out there this late, and I told him that I was supposed to meet someone, but it seemed like she wasn't going to show up. He said, "Oh, you must have been waiting for my daughter." The man by the name of Jeff introduced himself to me as Robin's father and said that Robin has told him a lot about me. He told me that Robin couldn't meet me at the park because she remembered that was the night she had to go to a party with her friends and she forgot to cancel. He told me she wouldn't be home till 11 o'clock, and that's when I knew my night was a bust. He apologized and offered to give me a ride home. Well, I knew it was going to take too long for me to walk, so I accepted. It was going to be a long drive, but luckily, I knew all the shortcuts to my house. I told him where I lived and how to get there as I got into the car. After a few minutes, I was feeling tired from being out so late, so I closed my eyes for just a few short seconds and dozed off. Not long afterward, I awoke. Feeling a little drowsy, I rubbed my eyes and realized that I was still in the car. I asked the man where we were, as this wasn't the usual route to my house. He said, "Relax, kid. This is a shortcut. We're almost there." I asked where we were going, and then he looked at me with some sinister grin on his face. I felt my heart almost explode out of my chest as he did that. I looked down and saw a handgun sticking out of his jacket pocket. I put two and two together and realized what was happening. I told him, "Let me out now!" He responded, "No." Then he put his foot on the accelerator, speeding up the car. I tried to get out, but he had already put the child lock on. It seemed hopeless. I was trapped. There was no way out. To make matters worse, we were driving through a forest area with no cell service. I couldn't even call for help, but I just had to get out. As soon as the car started to slow down, I stabbed him in the shoulder with a pocket knife that I found on the floor. He screamed in pain as I was able to turn off the child lock, unlock the door, and run as fast as I could into the woods. While I was running, I could hear multiple gunshots being fired at me, but luckily, not a single one hit me. I never looked back because I had the fear of the man chasing me at the back of my mind. I dove behind a tree and hid under a bush. I heard the man yelling,
"You can't hide from me! I will find you!"
I covered my mouth with my hands and held my breath, trying not to make a sound. Everything was silent for a while until I saw that the man was looking for me with a flashlight. He flashed it past me multiple times. When I heard his footsteps going deeper into the woods, that's when I knew the coast was clear. I ran using the flashlight on my phone to help navigate me through the dark and scary woods. In hindsight, I knew that was a stupid move considering the situation. I could hear the leaves crunching and the twigs snapping as I ran, which would also easily give away my position. When the crunching and snapping got louder, I looked behind me and my heart dropped when I saw that the man was chasing me. I ran as fast as I could with the man hot on my tail, firing every single last round he had in his gun, but thankfully, the shot ceased again.
"There's nowhere for you to hide," he said.
I thought I was going to die until I heard the man trip over something and I was able to get away unharmed. I kept running until I was out of the woods and back onto the road. Looking behind me then, he was nowhere to be seen, which means I lost him. I sighed in relief, and then I saw a red car driving down the road. I was able to wave it down and tell the driver that I was kidnapped and almost killed by some crazy man in the woods. It took a lot of begging, but the driver finally gave me a ride to the police station, and I told the cops everything. Unfortunately, I didn't get the man's tag number, but I was able to give the police a clear description. After the police had run a search, they told me that he didn't even have a daughter, and that they've been trying to catch this guy for months. As it turns out, he's wanted in several counties for the kidnappings, rapes, and murders of multiple teenagers and young men. How I managed to escape him is a miracle. The officers kindly gave me a ride home, and I didn't tell anyone what happened, except my brother. The man was never found, nor was he ever caught, and they say he's still out there even to this day, which scares me the most. What's even worse is that I stupidly gave him my address, so who knows if he might try to kidnap me again. Needless to say, my days of using Tinder weren't over after that. The whole incident just made me a lot more cautious from there on out. Her name was Claire Smith. She had the prettiest blue eyes in addition to a very nice smile. We had matched the night before on Tinder, and after talking for a while, we decided to go on a date. It was a great restaurant, and I arrived early. I waited for about 30 minutes before she finally got there, and as she walked up to me, I smiled because she looked exactly like her pictures. I had always been wary about first dates, as I had been a victim of catfishing numerous times in the past, so I was usually relieved when my date looked like the person they were claiming to be in real life. When she finally arrived at our table, we exchanged pleasantries before we ordered what to eat. We spoke extensively as the date went on, and as she told me about her hobbies, her likes and dislikes, and her plans for the future. I really enjoyed the date and her company, but after a while, I realized that there was something off about her. She had a very strange aura, as I could tell by her facial expressions that she wasn't really comfortable. It looked like she was worried about something. After a while, I decided to ignore it, because apart from those little strange details, she seemed like a really nice person. The date eventually came to an end, and as I made preparations to leave, Claire looked at me and said, "Hey, this was really great. I really enjoyed myself, and I actually don't want it to end. I hope this isn't too forward, but I would love if we continued this date at my apartment." Now, this was a bit strange to me, as most people normally waited till after the second date or third date before inviting someone over. But even then, I still wanted to accept the invitation, as I really enjoyed the date too. So I agreed, and we made our way to her apartment. When we arrived, she offered me a seat before she asked the question, "Do you drink?" So I replied with, "Yes, I do." I then saw her smile as she said, "That's great. Wait here while I go whip up something really nice for us to drink." As she left for the kitchen, I found myself taking in my surroundings. She had a really nice apartment and nothing seemed out of place. I waited in the living room for a while as she took her time in the kitchen. I could hear her making the drinks from where I was sitting, and after a while, she came out with a homemade cocktail and two glasses. She poured out two drinks before handing me one. And as I took the drink from her, Claire looked at me with a smile and said, "Now before you try the drink, I'd like if you could, truthfully, tell me what you really think about it." I found her statement a bit odd, as she was now looking at me with so much excitement. I was a bit confused, but I didn't want to seem rude, as I knew she put a lot of effort into making it. So I smiled and took a sip of the cocktail. It tasted amazing, as I found myself drinking the whole thing. When I was done, I looked at her and said, "Wow, that was delicious. Did you actually make this cocktail by yourself?" Claire then smiled and said, "Yes, I did. I'm in my final college year, but I bartend on the side. So I always like creating delicious cocktails in my free time and getting people's thoughts on them." As she said that, I finally realized why she was so enthusiastic about me tasting the cocktail. After that, I had a couple more glasses as we continued talking into the night. After a while, Claire looked at me and said, "I'm really glad this is going well. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm not really good at this online dating stuff. I've been told I put off a really weird aura because I get really anxious and nervous on every first date. Most of the time, I don't know what to do, so I'm really glad I didn't scare you off." I remember letting out a small chuckle as I replied with, "I won't lie. I actually noticed that, but I like you too much to care." Claire then smiled as she reached out and gave me a kiss. After that, Claire got up to get more of her homemade cocktail in the kitchen, but I couldn't take it anymore. I knew I had to do it, as it was now or never. So I reached for one of the glass bottles that were on the table, and I broke off its base. Shocked, Claire turned around to see what happened, and I started to apologize as I explained it was an accident. But as she bent down to pick up the broken glass shards, I used the head of the now broken bottle to stab her in the gut. She started to scream, so I immediately forced my hands over her mouth to stop her scream. And as she bled out, I calmly whispered in her ear, "When I was a boy, Claire, my father used to take me hunting. We mostly hunted the game in the forest, animals like deers and rabbits. And even though I thoroughly enjoyed it, I've always wanted more. So, when I was 14, I decided to hunt something better. I waited for a particular woman who used to hike in our forest every morning, and during her hike that morning, I shot and killed her." Claire started struggling and screaming now, but I held her down as I continued with, "That was the beginning of something really beautiful in my life, Claire, and I wanted more of it, so I kept hunting down women. I moved to the city to get my hands on more game, and after a while, I realized something amazing. In this modern world, hunting animals like you has never been easier, because dating platforms like Tinder do all the work, as they bring my prey right to me." I then removed my hands from her mouth as I threw her body to the floor. She had lost a lot of blood now, so her screams weren't as loud anymore. I then looked at her and said, "I consider myself a modern hunter, Claire, and you should be grateful because you had the pleasure of seeing me. Women like you are so desperate for love, and I know you'd do anything to get it. That alone makes people like you my perfect target. I mean, it only took a pretty face like mine to get you to invite a stranger into your home." I then watched as she tried to crawl towards the door before continuing with, "But you know the best thing about hunting, Claire? It's the look of despair in your victim's eyes as they try to get away from you. That, my dear Claire, is the thrill of hunting. Looking on as your game puts up a futile struggle before you take that hope away by slowly putting them out of their misery." And with that, I repeatedly stabbed her with the broken bottle. She struggled, but it didn't take long before she was dead. When I was done having my fun, I calmly went outside to get the tools from my car. I then went back into Claire's apartment and I got to work. I put on my gloves and I cleaned up the place with bleach. I carried her bloody corpse and I put it in the bathtub that I had already filled with high-grade acid. The apartment now looked cleaner than ever, and the carcass was safely locked away in the bathtub. It'd take a couple of days before her remains are found, and I'd be long gone by then. So with a smile on my face, I made my way out of the apartment, and I congratulated myself on another successful hunt. That night, after dinner, I found myself using the Tinder app again. It didn't take long before I had quickly matched with another woman. She was called Abigail Dawson. She had beautiful brown eyes and amazing black hair. She lived in Los Angeles, and as we started texting, I began to smile as I said to myself, "Let the hunt begin."